In December, a friend of mine from college named Guy Groves called me up. Turns out that he had some health issues that I had no idea of. He's a friend of mine in college, and we named our first son after him. Same age as me. He'd been having some intestinal problems, but no big deal. And he'd been up skiing and having a good time. And when he came back to town, he had a lot of pain. So we went to the hospital, and it turns out that he had obstruction in the bowels. And so they tried to work with him for a couple of days, and they ended up doing surgery on him. And what they found out was that he had stage 4 colon cancer. So they told him, we're going to do all we can to take care of this. We'll do chemotherapy and radiation, and you've got about a 40% chance of surviving after 5 years. So my friend, who's my age, who had been living a full and active life, doing everything he wanted to do, working hard and playing hard, all of a sudden was face to face with death. And when they called me up, of course, I said I would pray for them and be glad to. But it shocked me too. Death is not a topic I like to think about. I'd rather just avoid the whole idea of it. Guy's the same age as me. We're 63 years old. You know, it wasn't that long ago, maybe a couple of centuries ago, that would be considered an old person. Not many people live to that age. But I still think of myself as a young person. I've got a lot to live for. I'm not ready to die yet. This life is so good. I have more to do. Life is full of pleasure, and I don't want to let go of that. You know, death is annihilation. And after you're gone, there is no more. The day after I die, I know that the next morning people will get up and they will have breakfast and they will go to work and they will hug their kids and I won't be there. So I don't really like to think about death. Even though I know it could happen any time, and my friend Guy Groves has pointed that out to me. He went through chemo and radiation, and it looks like he's in remission, so we're continuing to pray for him, and he looks good. Our gospel story today is the story of the raising of Lazarus. I don't really like this story in the Bible. I never really figured out how to make sense of it. It seems sort of like a dream. It doesn't all fit consecutively in the right place. And there are sort of odd things that happen in it. So it's kind of hard to make sense of the story. Jesus is told that his friend Lazarus is sick. But he doesn't come. He doesn't come to heal him. He waits. Why does he wait? And then he comes later. It doesn't make sense to me. He tells his disciples it's because he wants to show them the glory of God. So he knows that he's going to raise Lazarus. But wouldn't it be better just to go before he died? He tells his disciples that he's going to raise Lazarus, so he knows that's going to happen, but when he gets there, he weeps. Why does he weep if he knows that Lazarus is coming back to life? It doesn't make sense. I suppose he weeps because he's weeping for the grief that all people have when they experience a death. Martha and Mary meet him separately, and they each say, Lord, if you had only been here, our brother would not have died. And Jesus says something very curious to them. He says, I am the resurrection, and I am the life. What does he mean, and why does he say that to them at the time? When he gets to the tomb, he says to them, take away the stone. And Martha says, Lord, he's been dead 4 days, and already you can smell the stench of the rotting flesh. And he says, it doesn't matter. And he, in a commanding voice, he says, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man, all wrapped up in bandages, comes out. And Jesus says, unbind him. What a strange, strange story. I've never preached on this story because I've never known exactly what to say about it. There's this problem of this impossible miracle. If a person is dead for 4 days, their flesh and their body is going to deteriorate to the point where it's just impossible to imagine how this is going to happen. I guess that's the definition of a miracle, that it's impossible, but it really stretches my credulity. And maybe that's the point. Maybe the Gospel of John is trying to provoke me and trying to push me into saying, do you believe or do you not? You know, that's a theme throughout the Gospel of John. John keeps presenting us with this person of Jesus and the things that Jesus says and does, and then he leads you on, and he is as if he's saying, what do you think? Do you believe in Jesus or do you not? Until you get to the very end, and he says, these words are written so that you may believe. Maybe that's the purpose of this story. This story about the raising of Lazarus is really, it's kind of a foreshadowing of the resurrection of Jesus, isn't it? We're in the 11th chapter of John, and in the 20th chapter of John, we'll read about the crucifixion and the resurrection. But here we have a little resurrection already beforehand, maybe just to sort of get us ready, start us to thinking about what resurrection is. I mean, death is a mystery. We don't know what death is going to be like. It's beyond our comprehension. Will it be scary? Will it be comforting? Some people say so. Will it be painful? I think we have so many questions around death. There's so much unknown, and we're afraid of what's unknown. The story, I think, tells us a few things about death, and I've pulled out three things that I think it tells us. You might find other things or more things. These are the three that I came up with. First of all, death is serious. When Jesus comes and finds that Lazarus is in the tomb, he weeps. He's overcome with grief. He takes it seriously. And sometimes you hear people say, well, I don't want to have a funeral. Just have a party for me after I'm gone. I don't like all that sadness and funeral stuff. It's too morbid and depressing. Just have a party for me. No, no. Death is serious. If we don't grieve at first, we'll grieve later. Second thing I think about this story is that it shows that Jesus has a command over death. He speaks with a strong voice. He says, Lazarus, come out. He's confident. He's commanding in his presence. He's strong. The story really seems not so much to be a literal story, but almost like a parable to get us to sort of thinking about what death is about so that we can approach death with confidence, like Jesus did, and not with fear. Third thing I get from this passage, this story, is that God is bigger than death. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and I am the life. So to know Christ and to believe in Christ is to be part of a life that is bigger than death. John wants us to believe in Christ, wants us to be part of Christ. When we do that, we know that we don't have to fear death. So the season of Lent is a preparation for Easter. Lent starts with Ash Wednesday. We put ashes on people's forehead and we say, remember you are dust and to dust you will return. It's a reminder of our mortality. And as we go through Lent, we're preparing for Holy Week, and we go through Good Friday and Jesus' death and crucifixion all the way through to Easter and his resurrection. As we remember Jesus' death, we think of our own death. And we ask ourselves, what is the path that we're going to take for our death? The path that I would like to take is the path that Jesus took. He looked death in the face. He did not avoid it. He was honest about it. He trusted in God completely. And he went through death and out the other side. And he showed us how to die. The poet John Donne, many centuries ago, wrote a poem about death, and I'd like to read a few lines from it. What he does is he speaks to death as if death were a person, and he says, you know, death, you're not so great after all. Here's what he says, the first two lines. Death, be not proud, though some have called thee mighty and dreadful, for thou art not so. And here's the last two lines. One short sleep past, we wake eternally, and death shall be no more. Death, thou shalt die. Well, Good Friday is coming, but more importantly, Easter is coming with the resurrection. Amen.